This podcast is being sponsored by MyComicShop.com. Come visit us at ColdSlitherPodcast.com and then click on the link through our front page to MyComicShop.com. Shop there and keep the podcast going free. And you'll get new releases of comic books delivered right to your door. MyComicShop.com through ColdSlitherPodcast.com. Do it today. The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles.
Woo, yeah!
I would have, if I had thought about that, I would have loaded the Google effects before I hit start broadcast. In either case, I'm your host, Tim DLGG. I'm joined tonight, at least so far, by @PCN_dirt on Twitter.
Yay! Hi, everybody.
And later tonight, we will be joined by @agent_70 on Twitter. And another host who usually is with us but can't be with us tonight is @RoddyCat. He will, if he's watching at home or at work, he may chime in on social media, so make sure you're following him on Twitter, @RoddyCat. And when we get to the clicks of the week, we'll be sharing what his click of the week is. But for now, make sure to go to our website, theclicknation.com, where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles, comic book reviews, and much more.
That was a spoiler?
Yeah, spoiler. We have a website. Follow the Twitter account, @theclicknation. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. Subscribe on YouTube to youtube.com/theclicknation. That is the actual feed that the show is being broadcast on right now. Also, while you're subscribing to things, make sure to subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Just search for The Click Nation. Give us a thumbs up on Stitcher. Give us 5-star reviews on iTunes. And make sure to reshare the broadcast feed so other people can find us and tune in also. Add us to your circles on Google Plus. Search for The Click Nation Google Plus page. We are live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just search for the hashtag Comic Book Chronicles on your favorite social media websites. And we are part of the Cold Slither Podcast Network and the Comic Related Podcast Network. Just search for, or go to the websites, comicrelated.com and coldslitherpodcast.com. And if you ever have any feedback you want to have read on a future show, send that on over to theclicknation@gmail.com. Alrighty. So now, this is the segment of the show where we go over the comic book, TV, and movie news of the week, which I'll be reading off my iPad here to the side of me. For anyone watching on the actual video, wondering why I'm looking off to the side. Let's see, Vito D'Ambrosio to reprise his role as the Flash's Tony Bellows from 1990 series. Not sure who that is, but okay. Oh, the Red Hood Gang is set to appear on Gotham in February.
Hmm.
And I believe a little farther down in the news we'll have another Gotham casting news. DC Entertainment announces new animated movies and shorts. I remember reading that article, I think maybe it might have been like last Friday or sometime last week.
Anything interesting that struck out to you? Struck out? Bitterness. I can't talk.
Stuck out to me?
Yeah, that's the word.
Let's see. The iPad actually loads the article a lot faster than my slow laptop does. So this is from comicbookresources.com. The first of two Batman Unlimited films will arrive direct to video in stores on May 12th. The sequel will be released sometime in the second half of 2015. The movie, the paragraph above that says, the animation projects are based on existing Justice League toy lines, including two Batman Unlimited movies and 3 15-minute shorts of Super Friends.
Hmm.
It says the movie rosters will feature Batman, The Flash, Red Robin, Nightwing, and Green Arrow as they come up against Penguin and his horde of cyber animals. And additionally, Batman Unlimited will inspire 22 two-minute shorts, which will be available for free across several digital platforms and companion app. Batman Unlimited currently has action figures on the shelves now that are produced by Mattel and feature a new look for the titular character. Then they talk about Super Friends. Super Friends, on the other hand, is based on the Fisher Price Imagine Nets action figures and playsets. The shorts will appear in the spring alongside a similar app with the goal to connect audiences to the toys and characters. There you go.
Sure.
What is it? Okay, Universal Eyes, John Wick directors for Cowboy Ninja Viking with Chris Pratt. Oh, and then there's a follow-up. Chris Pratt not on Cowboy Ninja Viking anymore. Despite recent reports. So he was and then he wasn't. I remember when I did see this news break last week, it made me actually go and look up what Cowboy Ninja Viking was, and I guess that's a comic.
Like, I vaguely recall the title, but I don't think I ever read it.
Yeah, I wonder who, the art looked nice for the, whatever, you know, promo image, which I'm sure the inside art probably didn't look as nice. J.K. Simmons might play J. Jonah Jameson in future Spider-Man movies, depending on which movie studio releases those. This was interesting. Sony snaps up Jeff Lemire and Dustin Nguyen's Descender, and it hasn't even come out yet.
Yeah, I'm getting kind of tired of these movie announcements for books that aren't even out.
Even though I agree with you, but when I read the premise for the book, I said, oh, that looks kind of cool. But
I guess it depends. Like, when they did like Kick-Ass, they based it off the miniseries, but the miniseries wasn't even completed when they started working on the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So the movie actually went off in one direction, and the miniseries went off in another direction because they hadn't come up with the ending yet.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it's just kind of after a while, I lose some of the enthusiasm because it's like, let the book come out first. Like, let them do it and make it and publish it, and then you can make a movie, you know. A lot of these people, they're just jumping the gun. They want the next hot thing before anybody else gets their hands on it.
Question, do you blame the movie studios or the creators behind the comics?
It's both. I mean, honestly, if I was working on a project and they came up to me and offered me, you know, $2 million, whatever, for the rights to turn it into a movie, of course you're going to say yes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can't really blame them for that. But, you know, after a while, it does kind of wear thin.
I think the deal that Boom Studios has up with, I think it's Fox.
Yeah,
the, like, they get the first look. Something
the right
like
of first refusal.
Yeah, something like that sounds, you know, that sounds like a good deal for creators. Not sure how many, how much stuff is in the works with that, but like when I heard, you know, I hear something like that, I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. Just because it seems like not every single thing that comes out, they're trying to, turn into something. But
right.
Yeah, and this reminds me of something a friend of the show, William Bruce West, who you can follow out on Twitter at William B. West, always says about Image Books. He always says, you know, Image puts out all these books that never like end, even though a lot of Marvel books never actually end unless they're like canceled or whatever. But like I guess his main point is like all these books come out and then they'll just like disappear and you never see them again.
Right.
So.
Or something like Prophet, where it disappears for a couple of years and it comes back and it's completely different from what it was.
Yeah,
before.
I was like
the same title.
Another friend of the show, Dork Geekus, who actually popped back up on Twitter this week. Shout out Dork Geekus. He, I know he's a Prophet fan, but it's like I saw him talking about Prophet, and I was like, is that Prophet from Rob Liefeld? And wasn't he part of Youngblood or something?
Probably, who knows?
I just remember like the Liefeld drawings of Prophet, where he was like this big, you know, bulking guy with like two swords in his hand, looked like Shatterstar kinda.
Yeah.
And now it looks like something totally different.
Yeah, well, you know, that's Image.
Obscure DC Comics villain Lumberjack to menace CBS's Supergirl in the pilot episode, I believe. Skip that. Gotham will set up a Joker storyline before first season ends. But I thought when the series launched. Oh wait, where's the? Of course, I remember hearing before Gotham launched that supposedly they were going to plant seeds in every episode of a character that possibly could be the Joker. I have no idea if they actually went through with that or not. But
yeah, I stopped watching the show after like the second or third episode. So
yeah, same here.
Yeah, it just, it was not the show for me. I was very disappointed in Gotham.
I know a lot of people that like it, though, but, yeah.
I know a lot of people that like American Idol, but I'm not going to watch that show either.
And then everyone's like surprised, like, you're supposed to watch that. It's the comic book show. Like, yeah, but...
It's not.
Yeah. I mean, it's a nice, I guess, procedural, or I don't even know if it's necessarily a procedural, but, like, Bruce annoyed me, and I don't know. But, yeah, it's not the show for me. Let's see. Carrie Ann Moss joins Marvel's a.k.a. Jessica Jones, the Netflix series, a.k.a. Trinity, as everyone screamed out from the Matrix movies.
Yeah.
They didn't announce who she's playing yet, so gotta wait for that. Which DC characters will be on TNT's The Titans? So, some articles came out earlier in the week about possible characters that... Well, actually, I guess it was like a leaked script or something for the pilot episode of... The Titans, I guess, is what they're calling it. And I will open the link to read off the characters. I love that this actually comes up so quickly. And that's not the right article. That is the Daredevil. Oh, okay. Long link, my bad. Let's try this again. So, yes, the next story will be the Daredevil teaser trailer that came out. So, this is from the Nerdist website. Which DC characters will be on TNT's The Titans? So, there was a video with... the revelation of which characters, and it's going to be Nightwing, formerly Robin, Dick Grayson, Batwing, that leaves Gotham City, I think supposedly to go to Boston, if I remember correctly. Barbara Gordon is going to be in it as Oracle. Surprise.
It's a little odd.
Yeah, it seems like the whole point of like going New 52, even though they're not doing synergy like Marvel is, but I thought they want everything to be like post New 52. That's like why they canceled Young Justice and all the DC animated movies are the same, you know, in the same universe now. But so Oracle, Hawk and Dove, the versions that Rob Liefeld made famous, supposedly, if you want to call them famous. So it'll be Dawn Granger as the new Dove. Yeah. And Hawk, I guess, would be Don Hall, maybe. Raven and their character, and Stargirl, Starfire. And supposedly there was like rumors of Beast, or I guess people were saying in pilot script there's not included were Beast Boy, Changeling/Changeling, or Cyborg.
Probably because of the budget being too low to really do anything with those characters.
Yeah. Hey, there's two of you on the screen.
Yeah, it crashed on me. I jumped back in real quick.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Technology. So, as we said, Marvel releases the full Daredevil teaser trailer. Did you get a chance to watch it?
Nope.
Of course not.
Did you watch it?
Yeah. I mean, it looked fine.
Is he wearing the red suit?
No.
Yeah, see, that's the problem.
Yeah. He looks, he's all, you know, ninja badass.
Yeah. See, it reminds me of when I was a kid and that Incredible Hulk TV movie came on with Daredevil. And they just had him as a guy in a black suit with a blindfold on. And I just remember being so disappointed in that show. And then
that's not the Daredevil I know.
Yeah, exactly. And then they did the live-action movie, and I was excited because he had an actual Daredevil outfit, but then it was Ben Affleck, so it sucked. So, you know, I'm just kind of torn. It's like, I want it to be good, but I want it to be the red suit, too.
So you're supposed to say, you know, it sucked, but the extended version was good.
No,
that's where everyone that mentions that Daredevil movie says, well, if you saw the extended version...
Nope, sorry, I'm not buying it.
It's like, a couple extra scenes added back in, did that really save it? Because if that's the case, then they made
it
shitty job
editing. His acting, though.
Yeah.
His acting is still the same, so that's the problem.
Right. See, first photo of Brandon Routh in the Atom costume appeared. And, of course, Ray Palmer is currently on The Arrow on the CW network. And Ruddy Cat's notes, he has Etso Atom O'War. I guess saying his suit looks like that's old Man of War. He looked fine. He looked, you know, kind of armorish, ready for action. It's got an A somewhere on it. I forget. I think it's on the chest.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the series to appear on Netflix so I can watch it.
Isn't it? The first two seasons, aren't they on Netflix? I guess you
know. Oh, Arrow. I'm thinking Flash. I always get the two shows mixed together.
I have to remember, too, because I want to put Adam on the Flash just because it makes sense, kind of more science.
Yeah, because I keep thinking Flash. Well, Adam is a Flash character. That makes sense. But then it's Arrow. It's like, oh, no, wait a minute.
Yeah. Grant Morrison adapted one of his own comics as a TV show. Surprise. We just talked about that. Okay, this is interesting. Disney considering Marvel Star Wars subscription video services.
How does that work?
I will tell you now. Because actually, I read that when I had the spreadsheet open at work. Because I was like, I kind of gave the spreadsheet like a nice little quick, you know, run through. Just so I wouldn't be totally surprised by everything. And I was like, huh? I was like, let me read this now before the show starts. It says, Disney is mulling subscription video services that would bring its Marvel and Star Wars properties directly to viewers. There's a quote, there is definitely an opportunity not just for ESPN, but for other Disney brands to openly put products in the marketplace that reach consumers directly. We think we have that opportunity with Disney branded service. We may have an opportunity to bring out a Marvel type product and possibly even Star Wars. So it doesn't really, let's see, doesn't explain too much, actually. It says, the world's largest entertainment company, Disney, last year launched Disney Movies Anywhere, a free service that allows consumers to watch its movies, including the Marvel catalog and Big Hero 6, on web-ready televisions, mobile devices, or computers. So it's free? And you can watch Big Hero 6, huh? Okay. That's definitely a have-to-wait-for-more-information type thing. So back to the Gotham teaser I announced earlier. Along with that, Heroes Milo Ventimiglia joins Gotham in reoccurring role. All right, so that was the cinematic / TV news. Now to actual comic book news. It says Marvel's newest Secret Wars title, Battle World, to feature weird fights. Actually, I don't think that. I guess I can check and see what that's talking about. I was going to say, it probably isn't anything specific. Oh, okay, this is the... So Marvel has announced Secret Wars Battle World as a four-issue anthology series featuring various characters and various alternate universe versions of characters finding it out. So it's going to be an anthology series. Each of the four issues will reportedly feature two stories. Josh Williamson and Mike Henderson have a story featuring Doctor Strange possessing the Punisher and going up against Spider-Man, Wolverine, the Hulk, and Ghost Rider, the Fantastic Four. Second story in the first issue by Ed Brisson and Scott Hepburn features a cross-continuity caper in a group of MODOKs from across Battleworld's patchwork domains. James Stoko is also announced to have a story in later issues. So I believe Josh Williamson and Mike Henderson, I think that's the art team on Nailbiter, or the creative team on Nailbiter, I believe. I think. Or is Henderson maybe doing their? Is he doing Deadpool? I get Hawthorne and Henderson mixed up all the time. I think they're both named Mike. Either way, I think Roddy Cat sent me a tweet. Let me make sure he didn't need anything as I slow my computer down. Oh, he's talking about the subscription service thingy. He says, first he's chiming in on the discussion about the movie studios and comic books, you know, joining together. I blame the studios because they are jumping on any comic they can make a movie on because they are hot now. And then to the subscription service, he says, the weird thing is Disney already has their Movies Anywhere service. Not sure how the Star Wars one will differ. Got it. All right. There's a bunch of different Secret Wars articles.
There's a lot of people talking, a lot of press releases they keep putting out for Secret Wars and Battle World and all of
Hickman,
that.
Hickman gave some interviews on different sites. I think I read him on Comic Book Resources and Newsarama. Tom Brevoort talked to CBR. Hayden Blackman jumps into Secret Wars with the Master of Kung Fu miniseries, which I think it's supposed to, besides having the Master of Kung Fu, Shang-Chi, is that how you say his name? Yeah.
Whatever.
Besides having him, I think, be the star of the book, I think he has, I believe it takes place on the domain Secret Wars Battle World of the Kung Lun, and it's going to have like all the like martial art characters like Iron Fist and Elektra and others are going to be in that domain and involved in that miniseries. February is Harley Quinn month at DC. Spoilers for this week's Superman. He gets a new power, a new costume, and something else happens at the very end. Did you read the issue?
Wait, I'm sorry. I was reading ahead on your news. Which one?
The Superman gets new
yes,
powers.
Yes.
The issue this week.
Yeah, and as far as we'll talk about the new power here when we talk about the issue later on. But as far as the new costume goes, it's really he got a different belt, and now his cuffs, instead of stopping right at the wrists, come down over the meaty part of his hand, and that's really it. Otherwise, it looks exactly the same.
I wouldn't have noticed. Because I honestly don't look that closely at costumes like everyone else does.
Because that's the thing. They go, oh, he got a new costume. And I go, what? And I had to look at it. No, it looks like I had to pull out like other issues. Like, where's Justice League? There's Superman. Okay, and then I'm looking at the two going, what's different here? And really all it is they changed his belt buckle on his belt, and they made the sleeves go down longer on his hands. And that's it. Everything else looks the same.
Yeah. So the eagle-eyed viewers, they catch everything.
Well, and also it's drawn by John Romita Jr., and he's not super detailed anyway. So, you know, I mean, nothing really stands out. It may be when he gets drawn in a different book, you know, by somebody else down the line, they may have more details drawn into it. But for now, it just looks exactly the same except for those two little things.
And like Dirt said, we'll get into that issue during the reviews, because there's other stuff to talk about with that. Aspen Comics celebrates Black History Month with website and social media campaign. And I meant to look for this earlier, but there's a hashtag that you can follow for Black History Month in comics. Let me see if I can find it. And I cannot right now. I'll look for that as the show goes on. Let's see. Norm Breyfogle is crying tears of joy every day. So it appears he's doing a little better now.
Yeah, there was online fundraising done to help him, you know, pay his bills and, you know, medical expenses and everything like that. And apparently it's way more than what he expected. I don't know what the actual numbers are, but apparently it's just one of those, you know, every year it seems like something happens with one of these guys and they're struggling, you know, their house burns down or somebody has a stroke or something like that, and it's hard for them to recover. And it's finally getting to the point now where they go, hey, this guy needs help, and it just, you know, pours out of the walls. And so he's apparently doing a lot better and has a lot less worries on his mind right now because of all the support he's gotten.
And the reason for that is because, they, you know, as a creator, you're basically an independent contractor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so a lot of them don't have insurance. And thank you, Roddy Cat. The hashtag is Black Comics Month. I know there's a couple websites doing features every day of the month of different black creators. Just use the hashtag Black Comics Month. Marvel, even though it was kind of announced a couple of weeks ago, but that's it. What is it? It's like a 4-issue miniseries, I think. I'm trying to remember if it's digital or not. I guess I can actually click this article here and see. Did I click the wrong link again? It's okay. It's hard to select something on the iPad with nothing but links. I'm touching the one below it. Okay, it's an Infinite comic from our good buddies Jaffo and Mast, along with artist Carmine Di Giandomenico, who was the all-new X-Factor artist. And it was funny because that's the same day they announced this, like I was going to go on Tom Brevoort's Tumblr and be like, hey, can you make sure that some of these artists I like on series that got canceled, you know, still get work? And he was one, and I think Marcus Toe was the other one I was going to ask about since New Warriors has ended, but no worries. So shout out to Jaffo and Mast. And this comes out on sale February 24th. So it involves Hydra and time travel. That's about all you need to know. Secret Wars, Battle World expands. Like we said, there's a whole bunch. I guess they released, revealed some of the domains that were hidden, and actually released info on like what certain domains actually involve. Like the Hala Fields is a Captain Marvel Carol Corps like world. That's one that stuck out of my mind. Okay, so yeah, even though this site. Okay, so the updates this week were for the domains Egyptia or Egyptia, the Egypt domain, the Regency, New Quet City, 299, Hollow Field, the Wastelands, Perfection, and New Xandar. And the 299 is actually So Spider-Man 2099 is ending and being replaced by Secret Wars 2099 from the same creative team. And our first look at the Avengers of 2099, who I guess because Avengers weren't really popular back then, they never appeared in the 2099. But there were X-Men 2099.
I don't know. I'm just not that interested in Battle World. Like, the more I hear about it, the less I'm, I guess, intrigued by it. It's one of those things I'll probably flip through, but it feels too much like when they were doing those Avengers versus X-Men tie-in books that they did Avengers versus X-Men, and then they had the AVX
right
series. And to me, it just feels like all these Battle World things just feel like that AVX series where you're just going to have all these short stories and miniseries where it's just like random group of characters versus random group or random dude versus random dude. And it's like none of them were important. None of them were a big deal. None of them really mattered in the end. So I don't know. I just don't have a lot of enthusiasm for Battle World right now.
It does sound like a lot of fillers out there. You're going to have to like wade through to find like the books that actually A, are important to Secret Wars, or B, look interesting enough to the reader, individual reader to...
Well, it'll be like when DC did the Futures End Month.
I was just thinking that.
The books do that. There were like four or five out of the, you know, 50 that they did that were actually worth reading, you know, that were pretty good or important to the story. But the rest were just, you know, random Elseworlds future stories.
I'd go so far as just the yearly DC, was it October, whatever month they do the special Villains Month, Futures End Month.
Yeah, they're all that same way, where there are a couple, like whoever the big writers are, like Jeff Johns knows how to make one important, and Dan DiDio will write one because he's got to get something important for a character out there, and then all the rest are just people going, what the hell am I doing this for? Like, I don't know what I'm, so they just come up with some sort of random filler.
Yes, that's if the creator even does it, is involved in the book.
Yeah,
sometimes,
that's true.
Like, sometimes creators, like Scott Snyder, I think he usually takes the month off. I mentioned the Secret Wars 2099. I went too far. Let's see. Special edition New York City announces first guest reader Claremont Malieve and more. Another bleeding. It's a bleeding core article, but about Secret Wars. Let's see what it talks about. Something about Night Nurse and more.
Apparently, Night Nurse and Millie the Model will be returning for Secret Wars.
Oh, Secret Wars Journal, a new series running through their Secret Wars event.
Yeah, because that's important.
Stories featuring the likes of Night Nurse, Millie the Model, Misty Knight, and Paladin. So,
yeah, I'll get right on those.
As we were saying, books to skip. let's see what music we get here. Brian Bendis announces his X-Men departure with Uncanny X-Men 600, along with a new exclusive deal that he signed with Marvel.
So he was exclusive, and he did the Avengers, and then he was exclusive, and he moved over to X-Men, and now he's re-signing exclusive, but he's leaving the X-Men. Where's he going to go next? What's the next big...
Luckily, I actually stayed at work and read this. It was like two articles. It was one article was the announcement of him leaving the X-Men and kind of just going over his X-Men run. And the second article was about... Actually, I don't remember what the second article was about. Because I read it yesterday. I read them out of order. I actually click and see what the second article was about.
Was it about him signing his exclusive agreement?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what he talked about. He talked about powers. It actually wasn't much in that article. So yeah, him signing his exclusive, talked about powers. It was more in the X-Men article. He mentioned how over the last couple of years, he's had to turn down projects because of how his workload is. And I guess some of those projects had been starting to kind of like eat at him.
Hmm.
And I guess as they were prepping Secret Wars and whatnot, they noticed that the Uncanny X-Men 600 would come 2 weeks before Secret Wars launched, so it kind of, I guess, looked like a good jumping-off point so he can go and do some of the other stuff. So he's not leaving Marvel, and he actually probably has more stuff coming out for them. So you finally get your Heroes for Hire book, people.
What other big franchise group can he go to? If it's not Avengers, it's not X-Men... It's obviously not Fantastic Four. Inhumans, come on.
Yeah.
No, I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I mean, he can't. Dan Slott's got to stronghold on Spider-Man, so it's not going anywhere. Well, I guess unless they come up with some other, like, ultimate, I'll be the Lord and Master of again. But I think he's probably tired of doing that. It's probably, like, lesser-tiered people, like, people that he can, like, give a spotlight on and have people, like, go crazy over, like, Luke Cage and Spider-Woman and stuff like that.
Maybe he can take over Iron Man and make people care about that again.
That would be kind of interesting.
It'd be nice to like the character again.
Tom Taylor on Spider-Man. Say what?
I said, it would be nice to like the character again. I mean, I've got like nothing against Tom Taylor. Tom Taylor, I think, has done some great stuff on a bunch of different books, but I don't know. Just
not
right now,
superior.
I'm just not into Iron Man nowadays. I haven't been in Iron ever Man. Since they
Kieran
relaunched
Gillen took
it.
Over.
Yeah, Gillen just killed it.
Yeah, I agree. And there's like, what you know, let's forget about him not being Howard Stark's son and his brother, was it Anton or Arno? Arno and, oh, well, I guess Arno is in the book. Never mind. Yeah, him and Pepper are plotting. The bigger question is, who takes over X-Men now? And when I say takes over X-Men, I mean like be the shepherd of that franchise. I had a suggestion. Who did I think?
You said G. Willow Wilson.
Well, I'll get to that. That's actually another piece of news that we'll get to. I wonder how Sam Humphries would be on X-Men. I wasn't crazy about his Uncanny X-Force, but I'm digging his. I think we differ on Black Vortex, which we'll get to later.
Yeah, nope. Anyway.
What am I seeing Nick Spencer take a shot at, like, another team book?
No, I mean, he's doing, actually, Edmondson, who's doing Punisher and Black Widow.
And Deathlok.
And Deathlok, yeah. If he could jump in there, that would be interesting.
It's funny, because I think I tweeted about this when the announcement came out, but Avengers and X-Men franchises will both be up for grabs after Secret Wars or during Secret Wars because Bendis is off X-Men and Hickman will be off Avengers. And then there's that Secret Wars Avengers, all new, all different Avengers free comic book day issue from a top secret creative team that's going to be coming out. Where's my music?
Roddy Cat says that Bendis should take over Alpha Flight or reboot the new universe. Wait, did you read that? No, you didn't read that.
No. Are you going through the news?
I'm checking Twitter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't read that.
All
right. Let's see. Da-da-da. Age of Ultron prequel comic reveals origin of Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Because that's where you want to throw it, in a movie prequel comic.
I didn't even read the articles to see what was revealed. I know it involves Loki's scepter. I mean, that's not that big a surprise. So my G. Willow Wilson statement was involving Marvel Secret Wars, set to have an announcement tomorrow on The View at 11
o'clock.
Yeah,
Marvel announces their next announcement will be announced on The View.
So.
The View, the Barbara Walters TV show, is where Marvel Comics is going to make an announcement about Secret Wars.
Walters retired.
Yeah, well, whatever. It's still her show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't... What could you... It's got to be, you know, of course, a top-tier character is going to a female writer, or a top-tier character is going to be rebooted as a female character like they did with Thor. But
it definitely, I don't think it'll be another, you know, this woman is replacing this iconic hero again. That would just be like the same thing. I don't say it's gotta be, but my guess is it's something that whatever that secret book that G. Willow Wilson is supposedly working on that they talked about from the Marvel retreat. But now you got me wondering what book or person or group is she taking over the X-Men?
I don't know.
That'd be kind of,
would Ms. Marvel. Oh, but she can't be an X-Men because she's an Inhuman, right?
Right. Could it be who's playing Carol Danvers in the movie? Even though that's kind of way off in the distance.
I don't know. I
was going to say, it's just like DC Warner Brothers announcing The Rock playing Black Adam, and that movie doesn't come out till like 3 years from now. And back to time, it was like 4 years. I'm like, wait, what? You don't even know who's playing Shazam yet.
Let's hope he doesn't have an accident in the meantime.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
He just decides to get fat. He's like, nah, I'm not doing it now. I going back to like this announcement on The View, my biggest problem though is that announcing it on The View, is there any menopausal woman watching daytime TV who's suddenly going to go out to buy a comic book? You know what I mean? It's like this is like the dumbest place to announce something, because even if it's some sort of, you know, if you want to call it like a feminist move that they're going to do, some sort of, female-themed writer or female-themed character announcement, nobody on that show watching that show is like, oh, well, now I got to go out and buy that comic book. You know what I mean? It's like you're telling you might as well go on The View and announce that Jay-Z's got a new rap album. You know, how many people watching The View are going to be like, oh, well, I got to get the new Jay-Z. You know, they're going to be like, oh, great, that's what the kid in the car next to me is going to be blasting. You know, they're going to be like, ah, this is what my idiot kid's going to be buying at the comic book store, whatever the announcement is. Like, it just doesn't make sense other than the fact that it's filmed in New York. Then they can book an appearance on it because they're in New York. So therefore, you know, you might as well do it. It's TV, right?
And you're on our parent company, ABC.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that helps, too.
Yeah. Just how, like, I'm sure that's the reason that they're reasoning behind the Thor announcement last time. So it's got to be something they, at least in their minds, believe is will cross audiences or whatever the phrase is. So I'll be tuning – well, I won't be tuning in. I'll be at work. I'll be online at 11 a.m. tomorrow Eastern time to see what
Well,
it is.
And it's probably also one of those things where the show starts at 11, but it's like half hour, an hour long. So they're going to wait until halfway through the show before they even
– Yeah, I thought of that the minute I just said that.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
There's going to be a Deadpool Secret Wars where Deadpool actually was involved in the very first Secret Wars.
Even though the character wasn't created yet, they're going to retcon him into the story somehow.
He wouldn't have been alive either, but, well, I guess he... Well, Marvel and their sliding timescale, whatever.
Yeah.
Super farewell to Geoff Johns.
Yeah, Geoff Johns, he's wrapping up his work on the Superman book, so he's not going to be on Superman anymore. There's going to be a new creative team taking over, but he wanted to be there long enough to give him a new superpower and a new costume.
Yep.
So
and carry and follow that story in Justice League, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably.
Just like Aquaman and the Seven Seas, whenever that storyline gets kicked off, if it ever does again. Mm. Remember that?
Nope. And I'm happy with it that way.
And a man has his face altered to look like the Red Skull.
Not really.
As William Bruce West told me, it looks like he just got beat up.
The guy just looks like he had a train wreck and then painted his face red.
Yeah, and cut his nose off.
Yeah, well, that's why I went with the train wreck.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, he's supposed to look like the Red Skull, but he's got, like, some sort of, like, weird circles.
He looks like Red Skull and Darth Maul is what he looks like.
I mean, granted, it's the stuff of nightmares. I don't ever want to, you know, meet that guy in the dark alley or anything like that. I mean, he definitely looks creepy, but to me, he doesn't look anything like the Red Skull, really.
And let's see, in the variant cover section of our news, there's Women of Marvel's variants announced for March. Secret Wars number 3 covers by Alex Ross. The Spider-Gwen number 1 Phantom variant does Todd McFarlane's Amazing Spider-Man 300. I think that's the variant done by Jamie McKelvey, I think. What the Duck, Howard the Duck spreads all over Marvel in April.
Yeah, that's the one we were debating whether it was What the Disney or What the Duck. Turns out it's What the Duck.
And if you want to first look at the Bloodshot Reborn number 1, go over to the Valiant Comics Tumblr, where they were releasing exclusive artwork. And now I get to read... Oh, wait. I guess... Going back to Black Comics Month, is that what the hashtag was? Yes, Black Comics Month. Roddy Cat has in back issues. Go back and check out the, I believe it's the Captain America book, The Truth, Red, White, and Black. Make sure that this is open. And you don't want to open.
Did you ever read that story?
I haven't. I need to read it.
Yeah, it's basically when they were creating the Super Soldier Serum. They decided that they were going to test it out on some other soldiers first to see if there were any side effects or anything. And, of course, they went to the platoon of black soldiers because they were considered expendable because it was World War II and they weren't treated the same as everybody else. So you had all these guys with lumpy, weird heads and rage issues and testosterone overload and all that kind of stuff from all the side effects of the earliest samples of the Super Soldier Serum and just kind of dealing with the fallout of that.
Okay. It's on the Marvel Unlimited app, right?
Is it?
Hopefully.
I don't know.
I hope it is so I can check it out.
I keep forgetting I have that app.
All right. This is the point in the show where I read our nice ads for Cold Soda Podcast. Help keep our podcast free. This is for Audible.com. Free 30-day trial. For you, the listeners of Comic Book Chronicles Podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Personally recommend an audiobook of your choice available at Audible.com. Let your audience know they can download your pick or another audiobook free by trying audible.com. Some sample titles are Gone Girl by Gillian Flynn, What I Know for Sure by Oprah Winfrey, Glengarry Glenn Ross by David Mamet, The Maze Runner Book 1 by James Dashner. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/coldslitherpodcast. Hopefully that's what the URL is. Again, that's audibletrial.com/coldslitherpodcast or Cold Slither. Not sure exactly which one it is, for your free audiobook.
And Truth is available on Marvel Unlimited.
Thank you. And for those who are wondering why I don't know what the exact URL is, it's because in the ad it doesn't say. It says your URL.
Insert name here.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, at the top he has it. So let me read that last section again. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/coldslither. And there's also audibletrial.com/classic. And for another show on the Cold Slither Podcast Network, go to audibletrial.com/good and terrible.
You don't want to promote someone else's show.
Sure we do. We're all part of the same podcast family.
No, it's competition.
We need the most downloads, damn it.
That's right.
Even though a lot of people download our show from the Coast of the feed, I see.
Well, that's their mistake. I mean, no, we've got a great show.
Classic sends me the weekly stats that I kind of just look at and say, oh, cool. All right, reviewing books this week. I read 4 books.
You read all Marvel books.
I did. Surprise.
I read 3. 3 of the Marvel books. So Ant-Man I did not read. So why don't you tell us about Ant-Man?
Ant-Man, my possible click of the week. This issue was hilarious. So Nick Spencer, of course, is the writer. He of the Superior Foes of Spider-Man fame. So Ant-Man, in issue 1, he tried to become head of security for Tony Stark, the inversed Superior Iron Man version. And he actually got the job, but then he found out his ex-wife was moving to Miami and taking their daughter, Cassie Lang, with her. So Scott didn't want to stay in New York and be away from her, so he decided not to take Tony Stark up on his offer and decided to move to Miami to be close to his daughter. But he also needs to make a living down there. So he goes to a bank and tries to take out a loan to start his own, like, security firm business. There's some hilarity and hijinks involved with the loan office people that he has to do his little sales pitch to, and it's funny because he tries to show them that he knows security. He knows security to start this business by displaying how vulnerable their security system is. So he does this by disabling all their security measures and whatnot. So they think he's trying to rob the bank. He's like, no, I'm not trying to rob the bank. I'm just trying to show you, what's wrong with your security system. And then like another person on the board would chime in, but trying to rob us. And that kind of goes on for like a couple panels. And then since he disabled all the security alarms, that activated this security measure, this extra old school security measure is activated that, of course, Scott has to try to stop. And he eventually does get the loan. And I say in my notes, he better keep his eye. Oh, yeah. Well, he gets the loan from the lady that's on the board, but she decides instead of just giving him the loan for the start of his business, she wants to be a business partner of his, like 50-50. So, of course, you'll probably end up being some nefarious person to keep your eye on for later. And Ant-Man gets a billboard in Miami, which at least find those page, that page on the in the book for that. And that, well, I guess I'll give a little spoiler. So it's like him, and you know, has the name of his company, and like he's riding an ant, and like in the corner is the Superior Iron Man giving like two thumbs up, saying like, you know, I endorse this guy. And like his internal monologue is like, yeah, I'm sure Tony Stark has no issue with that. And then like next panel is like Tony sitting in his like office chair, and like some servant like holding a laptop with the billboard on the screen, and he's like, the only word balloon is Tony saying Sue.
I don't know. I'm probably going to end up checking out this series. I thought I was going to skip it, but it's been getting some good reviews from people, so I'll probably end up maybe this weekend going back and reading it since it's only two issues in.
Yeah, I don't want to hype it up too much, but just after two issues, I'm loving this series. It's like it's going to have to move up the pile of like, you know, automatic like first or second book to read at the months it comes out.
Yeah,
the week it comes out, just because it's so funny. And Superior Foes wasn't that way with me. I mean, it was cool, but it was nothing like I had to rush to read. I also enjoyed the art by dude, I can't think of his name.
Rosales?
Yeah, it's like Von Rosales or something. I'm sorry for butchering your name. I would try to go find out what it is now, but I don't want to slow my computer down any more than it would.
Well, longtime listeners to this show are used to us getting names horribly wrong. So
yes, because it's always me trying to say them.
Or me. I think I'm worse.
Oh, cool.
All right.
Roddy Cat chimes in. Ant-Man is trying to take up Hawkeye mantle and stern off nicely. I'm assuming he means the Hawkeye mantle of the book that everyone will be loving and talking about. Hope so. All right. What do you have to throw at us next?
Well, let's talk about Star Wars, since that was a big release this week.
I read that.
I can legitimately say that we sold out of this in our store 10 minutes after we opened on Wednesday.
How many on the rack-ish copies did you have?
Well, on the rack, it was seriously depleted from what we had originally planned on having on the rack, because so many people had pre-ordered it or added it to their pull list.
Okay.
Like after the first issue came out. So we do have another shipment that we had ordered in advance that'll be arriving next Wednesday. So next Wednesday, we're going to have a whole bunch more on the shelf, which will probably go away, you know, by the end of next weekend. But I mean, this has done, you know, when Dark Horse would announce a new Star Wars book, you know, you would get, I don't know, maybe a dozen people that were somewhat interested in it, you know. But this, for whatever reason, is just blowing away. We're seeing, like, Walking Dead-type numbers on this Star Wars series.
And the good thing about it is the book is good.
It is. Although, I was a little let down with this particular issue just because it is 90% action, which doesn't leave a lot of room for actual story development, you know? Like, not a lot really happened in this issue, even though there was a lot of stuff going on. You had a lot of shooting, a lot of running, a lot of stuff getting smashed, stuff getting blown up. C-3PO, of course, once again being torn apart into little pieces. And you know, it's enjoyable. Like, it's all enjoyable stuff. It's good stuff, but it you know, takes you 5 minutes to read the entire book.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess
so
it gives more time for John Cassidy to show his chops,
I guess. But, yeah, that was my only criticism of the book, is just that it was so action-focused that really not a lot really happened. There wasn't a lot of development with the story. But
I want to give Jason Aaron props for – he has the voices of the characters down. It felt like I was reading a Star Wars movie.
Oh, yeah, well, there's the part where Han Solo starts yelling
at
Princess Leia, and it just, you know, it's almost like they lifted it exactly out of the movie and then just put it in a new location.
They put it in word balloons.
Right. I mean, it was perfect, you know, as far as the characterizations and the dialogue went.
And his C-3PO is spot on. So, yeah.
Yeah. So it was good. It was good. Just, you know. It's one of those that's definitely, you know, for the trade, not much as a standalone issue. Let's talk about Avengers before we get to Black Vortex.
Okay.
So.
I said boo.
You know, I had a friend who he went away to college and he became a screenwriter is what he wanted to get into. And he studied screenwriting, even though he ended up writing plays, movies is what he wanted to do. And one of the tricks that he learned was the fact that whenever you have an edit in a movie, you have two people, say, walking down a hallway talking, and there's an edit, like maybe they turn the corner or something, people always assume that the moment that you cut to is the moment that exactly follows the moment you cut from. And a lot of guys like Tarantino like to play with time and displacement. And so you have two people talking and there's a cut and an edit, and people naturally assume that you're following up exactly on the moment that you just saw before the edit. But theoretically, there could be any span of time in between those two cuts. So you could have these two people talking, they turn a corner and it cuts and you see them walking down a different street and you assume that that's the new street that they turned the corner on, when in effect, you know, it could be a half hour later, something has happened that you don't know about that they go back to and explore later. And reading, you know, what happened with Namor, it didn't look like there was any way he could get out of it. You know, he's stabbed, he's thrown on the planet, there's the bomb about to go off, the guys transport down, they mention something about how they want him, they want to give him enough time that he realizes that there's no getting out of, you know, what's going to happen, and then the world explodes. So we assume that, you know, it was only, you know, what, 30 seconds, maybe a minute that Namor was there, but really you don't know how much time transpired. So in this issue, they go back to that moment with Namor, and they actually show how much time transpired, and it was more than 30 seconds.
Yes, a lot more. Conversations were had, discussions.
But the thing I loved about it is that, of course, you know, I have been a huge fan of the Ultimate Universe for several years now, and this shows a lot of development with characters in the Ultimate Universe, well, one character, really, in the Ultimate Universe and what's happened to him. We know from some of the news this week, looking especially at the cover of Secret Wars 3, that this character plays a big part in the Secret Wars storyline, and this issue shows what's happening with him in the Ultimate Universe, what's taken place since his book was canceled several months ago, what he's been doing in the time since then, and how he is connected to what happens with the incursions and what happens with the Cabal, and how Namor and all the people in the Cabal are not dead and not destroyed, and they've been saved, and they've been saved by this particular character in the Ultimate Universe. So I loved it. I thought it was great to see that guy back and to see, you know, these different threads and whatever coming together, these different storylines are now, you know, overlapping to make the story feel bigger. I really enjoyed it.
I guess it would have helped if I was more familiar with this character in the Ultimate Universe.
Yeah, and we're trying really hard not to say his name and give away, you know, who it is. But he was one of the main villains in the Ultimate Universe. And he only redeemed himself in the Ultimate Universe when Galactus, as part of that whole storyline, when Galactus was thrown into the Ultimate Universe, he redeemed himself during that battle with Galactus, but otherwise he was one of the main villains in the Ultimate Universe for a couple years. So when I saw him, I immediately realized that he was going to, you know, play some part in some villainous underhanded undertaking, and seeing it as part of this story just made me really happy.
I just wish that they couldn't even wait a month without reversing what had already happened.
Well, they didn't reverse it.
Disproving. Maybe is the word.
Everybody just jumped to the assumption that something happened that didn't really happen, because you don't know how much time actually, you know, took place there. So anyway, I'm at least happy to see. I also love Namor, and even though the Cabal was a bad idea, I still like Namor. I like the character, and I like, you know, he's one of the main reasons that I got into all of this stuff anyway, was his actions with the new Avengers. So I'm glad to see him survive, and the way it tied into the story. And Brian Hitch got paid again, apparently, for them reusing the cover of Ultimates number one here on Avengers 41.
Do you think when the Cabal gets back to the 616 to get their revenge, does Namor look for revenge also, or does he help the Avengers?
Know, I almost wonder if they're not going to see each other until Secret War starts. Like, if that's the kickoff of Secret Wars, is the universe is colliding so that they can get revenge. Like they're going to try to get their revenge and get back to the 616. And whatever they do is what sets off the Secret Wars storyline. So I'm at least looking forward to the Secret Wars from that aspect. It's just Battle World. I'm not too sold on.
And that noise you hear is Agent 70 joining us.
That's right.
There we go. I'm like looking for the damn mic.
As you can see, we're good. We're on to reviews.
Awesome.
What did you think of Avengers 41?
I liked it. I thought it was, I was kind of spoiled by, I think, the preview image for one of the covers for Secret War that Alex Ross did. It was just published. And I wish I hadn't seen that because then I saw where this issue was going. I think I would have enjoyed where this issue was going had I not seen that particular image.
But I was happy to see that character from the Ultimate Universe return because I did enjoy his book in the Ultimate line before it got canceled.
Right.
Which version, I guess that would probably give a hint at what character we're talking about there.
Right.
Because weren't they in a couple, well, never mind. I'll just stop.
We'll leave it at that. But yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot of, the cover definitely doesn't spoil things, but it definitely hints very strongly at what's happening in this issue and who's involved. So, alrighty. Let me see if I can get the show doc up so I can see what the heck we're talking about.
Well, you can throw out whatever comment. We only talked about two books, Ant-Man number 2 and, or 3, Star Wars number 2 and Avengers 41.
Oh, so very quickly, what did you guys think of Star Wars number 2?
We both, Dirt gave the story of how the book is selling out in under 10 minutes at his store.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And we both enjoyed the issue. We were saying how Jason Aaron has, it feels like they're taking like scenes from the, at least like dialogue from the movies and putting them in word balloon form.
Right.
Just how, like the banter between Han and Leia, how he's riding C-3PO. Sounds like it's coming straight from the movies. And Dirt also said it almost felt like it was too much action.
There seemed like there was a lot going on. I feel like they're trying to get everyone up to speed and give it a real movie feel. You know, it almost felt a lot like a mashup of like certain sections of each of the first, I don't want to say the first three anymore, the 4 through 6. It felt like mashup. You know what I mean? It's a mashup.
The original trilogy.
Exactly. Didn't you sense that? You know, everything from 3PO getting dismantled. You know, spoiler alert. To
yeah, we mentioned that. Yeah.
Okay. And you know, just certain aspects of the stories felt like, you know, we'd seen them before, but you know, they were being, you know, retold in a slightly different way. I'm glad you put the cover up. This was my favorite part of the book. I thought this put a smile on my face when I really needed it. I thought this was awesome.
My only criticism is really just kind of a nitpick that so much stuff happened, but nothing really happened. Like there was a lot of stuff blowing up, a lot of stuff getting shot at, a lot of stuff getting crushed. But in the end, nothing really moved the characters forward in any way. You were just getting a lot of, you know, a lot of intense action, mm-hmm. which is fun and it's good and the dialogue was great and the characters were spot on, but it didn't really move the story, you know.
You get the feeling that this is, have they said how many issues the first story arc is going to be?
I don't think they've officially said, but their trades are usually 6 issues.
So. Right, so then we're roughly two stories into a 6-issue story. You know, 2 issues into a 6-issue story, and
we're a third of the way in.
Right, so there's definitely a lot more setup before we get to a little bit of payoff. Maybe 2 more issues further in. So,
yeah,
you know, I get the feeling that you know, we're going to be subjected to that, and you know, something we're not necessarily used to. I haven't been an avid Star Wars comics reader. So this is a new experience for me, and seeing it, you know, seeing the effects of the trade writing as it is on this set of characters and in this universe is a different experience for me. So I'm waiting this out. I want to see how this first, you know, 6 issues, first arc ends, and kind of take that together and see if I'm going to keep reading the book. So it's definitely a different experience for me, and I think because of how it's basically official canon. It's basically dropped right in between the movies. It differs in that regard from the Dark Horse issues, and you know, maybe that'll keep myself and other kind of more casual Star Wars fans on the book.
Well, and that's one thing. An interesting point you bring up is the fact that these are canonical.
Canonical,
you know,
right?
Yeah, that. You know, Disney, Marvel, Lucasfilm, it's all the same company. It's reminding me a lot of how much I enjoy the Star Trek series. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason I enjoy it so much is the fact that the producer of the movies is producing the comic. So everything that happens in the comic counts. Everything is real. Everything is part of the story. Anything that Marvel is going to do in this series is going to count.
Right.
And they may even... You know, there have been various plot holes throughout the original trilogy that people have kind of chimed in over the years that they may actually kind of no-prize their way back through the storyline and you know, fill some of those holes
in
series like this. And that stuff is always really interesting to me to follow up on.
Gotcha. No, absolutely, absolutely. I enjoyed it. Let me see if I can pick a book and throw it out there. Did anyone read Ms. Marvel number 11?
Not yet.
I enjoyed this book. It is the culmination of the storyline pitting Ms. Marvel against, I don't want to misstate the villain's name.
The Inventor?
Yes, the Inventor. I wanted to say the technician. It's pretty funny. You know, as always, Alfona's art is pretty much the highlight of the book. There's a couple of real interesting terms that G. Willow Wilson uses in this to make us feel, you know, just that much older. But it's an interesting, you know, it's an interesting wrap up to the story. It kind of speaks to a generational gap too, you know, especially given the fact that this book is at least in name and in, I guess, intent addressed or geared towards teens, preteens, maybe even late teens, you know, early 20s. There's definitely an overall theme of dealing with the generational gaps and dealing with what millennials are what they appear to be, what people view them to be, you know, what older people view them to be. And I think that there's some what's funny is that there's actually some like overarching social themes in here in addition to the development of a new young superhero in the Marvel universe. See if I can think of anything else that jumped out at me. Really, as I said, that theme of the story that, you know, where there's definitely a generation gap between the characters, the main teen characters, and I guess the heroes that that Kamala Khan looks up to, and the rest of the Marvel universe that's sort of kind of looking in on her. It's an interesting take on things. It makes, like I said, it's interesting to read this as an older person. I'm dating myself right now. I'm reading it, and I'm just like, wow, you know what? This is actually interesting, just from, you know, a purely socio, you know, class aspect. It's weird. Well, that's like I'm sitting in a sociology class, right?
Well, let me throw something in there to expand on that discussion a little bit. Ms. Marvel actually lost its last subscriber in our store recently.
No.
We have nobody signed up for the book anymore.
That's insane. So what do you pull? Like, what do you order? Like 5 copies for the shelf and that's it?
On a book like this, honestly, 2.
Wow.
I was going to say, it does better in digital, right?
That's what you were talking about on another show.
Although I need to go back and read that book again, because I don't remember if that talked about breakdown by region at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if that might be, you know, it sells well maybe in European and Middle Eastern countries that wouldn't necessarily get print anyway. If that makes some sort of difference, I don't know. You know, just because of the cultural references and the character. But, I mean, as far as, you know... I would say probably 80-85% of our subscribers in our store And that's most of our business. You know, walk-in is not as much as the subscribers.
Right.
And most of our subscribers are 20 to 30 years old,
right.
You know. And quite honestly, you know, there were a couple people that were picking it up, I think, just because of the hype around it, and they dropped off pretty early. And then there were a handful of people that, you know, seemed to like the character from, you know, what they were saying, but after a while, they just kind of, it didn't seem like it was as important to them as some other stuff, and it's just kind of dropped off.
Wow. I mean, I find that fascinating because, you know, this is one of the titles that I am very happy that I picked up and started reading as opposed to something like Amazing X-Men.
Well, and it may also be, you know, Marvel has squeezed a lot of miniseries and crossovers and, you know, Black Vortex and Original Sin and, you know, all this stuff over the last few months that they're just making people at this point kind of like, okay, well, I'm going to keep up with the big stories, but some of these little books, you know, Punisher doesn't do very well. Black Widow doesn't do
That's
very well.
That's so disappointing.
Captain Marvel doesn't do very well, you know, so.
That is so disappointing because this week's Punisher was so good.
Oh, yeah, I love Punisher.
Punisher was so good. Can we
but
jump
it just,
to that?
It just doesn't sell, you know. Like,
can we jump to that? That is so disappointing that you're telling me that, like, two of my favorite books that are out this week are not selling well in your store. This Punisher issue was phenomenal. I love the fact that the Howling Commandos in this issue, you know, are what they are. They're soldiers. They follow orders, but like every good soldier, you know, has, I think, a moral center, you know, some form of moral compass. And, you know, Frank is appealing to that. And, you know, without spoiling too much, the plans have changed for this group of Howling Commandos. So, you know, the gang war is still going on in L.A. Frank's Frank's friend, who's a former police officer, is fighting her way out of a particularly sticky situation. And, you know, we're on to, you know, just a really cool issue. I enjoyed this issue. I don't want to, I don't want to spoil too much of what happened in this, but it was just very well done. Gerard's is so good at, you know, creating a realistic book. I think I've said this before. I think he takes advantage of either SketchUp or some digital art.
Oh, yeah, so that definitely.
He can, so that he can recreate, you know, vehicles. Like, this is what a G.I. Joe comic should have looked like when we were kids. You know what I mean, Dirk? Yeah. Right?
But here's the thing. Reading this issue, I almost feel like there's going to be a split in Punisher where there's going to be a second series where you've got...
Wasn't there... That was a rumor, wasn't it?
Well, and
they're setting,
I could,
they're setting up, right? They're setting up a character to go off into a solo book. I get that feeling.
Like, I feel like the police officer who was friends with Frank Castle is going to be the Punisher in L.A. fighting the gang wars and the drug lords and the whatever, and Frank Castle is going on this Jason Bourne-type quest, you know, to root out these secret elements within the government. And he's going to go up the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to take on, you know, his role on the streets.
Right.
And so I really feel that in this issue that they're taking these threads that were woven together and now they're kind of starting to separate them from each other and have them go on these different paths.
Right.
And if they do that, you know, I mean, I'm definitely going to follow it because I do think this is a great story. And I think, you know, if more people knew what was happening in Punisher, more people would be reading it. But at the same time, it's the problem of it's so well written and so tightly woven together that you do have to start with issue one. Like I don't think someone could just pick up issue 12, you know, and just read like the last four issues and be up on the story.
You could probably get away with missing out on some of the Electro stuff, but not all of it, you know?
But a lot of that Electro stuff, like again...
I know, has to do with the Del Sols, the gangs, right?
Yeah, and we saw that the Howling Commandos, some of the references from the very first issue came back around in like issue like 14 or 13,
right.
Whatever it was.
Right.
So it has been so well done to the point where you have to read it all, I think, to really get the story, which kind of hurts it in a sense, you know, because it is so well woven together.
No, I'm inclined to agree.
I feel bad because I still have the last issue loaded on my iPad to read when y'all gave it such high praise, and I still haven't got to it yet.
Oh, I just remember. I was just looking at Tim's notes. It's too bad Roddy's not on the show to talk about Avengers 41. You know?
He has notes on Avengers 41?
Yeah. Too bad Roddy Cat's not here tonight.
Where's his notes?
No, I'm looking at Tim's notes. It reminded me of what happens and what...
I see. You know? I gotcha.
So anyway, let's see. Black Vortex Alpha. I did not enjoy this issue, Tim.
I did not either.
Tim, I found
it fun.
Right, I see that you had some positive things to say about this book.
Yes. Let me pull my notes up.
You're the one.
Yeah, you are the one, because I honestly...
So I said I enjoyed Sam Humphrey's humorous writing style. I enjoyed, of course, the Kitty Pryde and Peter Quill combination.
I like the Guardians sitting around playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, I like that stuff. That's
what they were playing.
Oh no, dirt! Did you hear what he just said?
How am I supposed to know what it is they're playing? They were playing some type of card game. That's all I took away from it.
Oh no. We're betrayed, Dirt. We're betrayed. We got to teach the youngin. We got to teach him.
I enjoyed the history lesson on the Black Vortex.
Mm.
See, here's my problem. Is it's okay? So there's a mirror,
right?
And you look in this mirror and you see like some sort of badass version of yourself. So if you touch the reflection, you become that person, and somehow you're tainted and you're powerful, but I guess you turn evil or something.
Yeah.
And this is like, you know, if you ever watched Amityville Horror, these people are trapped in the house and the house is haunted and they're going crazy and it's built on an Indian burial ground, and so they're going insane. And then they did a sequel in the house and the people are going insane, and they did another sequel in the house where people are going insane. And then after they did like three or four sequels, they started doing these sequels where they would have a garage sale and they would sell a clock. And the clock would be in someone else's house. Mm. And now because they had this clock from the Amityville house, that things were going crazy in this other house, and they were being haunted by this thing. And I'm watching this thing. It's like, this is really the story of a haunted mirror that is making people go crazy.
It's true.
That's what the Black Vortex is. And it just felt like a really bad, cheesy sci-fi horror film that would have been direct-to-video in the mid-90s.
Oh, no. I mean, I like the fact that it was related to, whatchamacallit, without spoiling too much. There is an ancient spacefaring race that is, the source of this Black Vortex. So I like that particular tie-in, but, you know, I wasn't so keen on just the idea of what this vortex does and what it is and how people are coming after it. It's just, you know, I was not a fan of the story. I'm hesitant to honestly pick this up in physical form. It says a lot.
My only fear, like for a standalone issue, this was fine, but the series overall, with it being like 13 parts or however many it is, I hope it's just not a game of hot potato with the Black Vortex War. This issue, this person gets it, and we see what their true potential is. And next issue, and this crossover with Cyclops, he gets it. And then when it goes to Captain Marvel, she gets it. And
well, and here's the other thing I noticed is that they have that checklist in the back of the book. And for, like, the month of February, there are like three books listed that's going to Guardians, Star-Lord, and All New X-Men. And it lists All New X-Men 38. As the issue for February that ties into Black Vortex.
Mm.
We're in February. The last issue of All New X-Men was 35, which means they got to pump out 36 next week and 37 the week after, to pump out 38 the week after that to try to keep it on schedule.
Mm.
And there, and the All New X-Men are still in the Ultimate Universe. That was my first thought. I didn't do the numbering like you did. I was just like, aren't there all new X-Men in the Ultimate Universe?
Yeah, that was the other thing, is I was looking at it going, I think I missed something. Like, I had to remember, did that storyline end? Like, I had to go back and flip through the issue, and I was like, no, they're still in the Ultimate Universe. And then I looked at the numbers on it. Well, this is 35, that says 38. I'm like, oh no, here we go.
I didn't even realize they were that far behind.
It's going to be like Trinity War or Forever Evil. It's going to end up like that.
It's going to be Chaos War. That's what it's
going to be. I'm realizing that the all-new X-Men Ultimate crossover is the equivalent of the Guardians going to the planet of the symbiotes, except the all-new X-Men actually have been spending time in the Ultimate Universe. The Guardians actually didn't get to the planet of the symbiotes until like one-third of the way through whatever the last issue of Guardians was.
Mm-hmm.
But basically the same story of the... So far, the X-Men have been on in the Ultimate Universe, and nothing has really happened. Beast right. became, I guess, poisoned or whatever, or hypnotized by Dr. Doom, and the rest of the X-Men kind of like have been around meeting people. But besides that, nothing's really happened.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty painful. It's pretty painful. I was not very enthusiastic about the storyline after reading this issue. So I have very serious doubts about.
And this was like a $5. Paper copy.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one when I pick up my pull list this week. You know, whatchamacallit, pull list or discount be damned, you know?
Hmm. This is the Age of Ultron Black Vortex.
Oh, God.
And actually, that's all the books I've read this week, so you boys can have at it.
Dirt, did you read Superman 38?
I did.
So, I read this on the way home tonight, and I didn't realize that this Ulysses storyline was still going on, and I had caught wind of some spoilers, I think today or yesterday, about a new power for Superman being revealed
right
in this issue, and that's what got me opening the opening our copy. But I was again just surprised that Ulysses was still around. I thought that this was over and done with. I completely forgot what happened in the last issue. This is a resolution of this long, you know, opening arc that introduced John Romita Jr. to Superman in the DC universe, and it sort of resolves what happens with this human that has gone off to another planet, Ulysses. He comes back.
Another dimension.
Oh, that's right. Another dimension. No, thanks for the correction. Another dimension, and he comes back with Superman-like powers, or Superman-level powers, and there's a bit of a double cross that happened, you know, getting caught up on this now. And now Superman and Ulysses are having at it. And as is wont to happen when Superman faces someone who is his level or even stronger, you know, something different has to happen for Superman to prevail. And that's what we get here.
Well, they did a big tease on mm-hmm. online that he was getting a new outfit.
Right.
He was getting a new power.
Right.
And the new power really ends up being more of an extension of one of his old powers.
Right.
Just kind of, like, I hate to use the term, but supercharged.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Listen, it's the truth.
But I mean, that's really what happens. One of his powers right. basically goes overload.
Solar flare.
If you've ever seen The Last Starfighter, it's when they press that button and the wings open and it just starts flipping around, shooting missiles in every direction.
Yeah,
that's basically Superman's new power.
Pretty much.
Which I mean, I was fine with, because it, like I said, it's like an extension of something he already had. So it wasn't mm-hmm. like suddenly he can turn invisible, or right. he can phase through solid objects, or, you know, something like that. Suddenly he pops out adamantium claws.
That would be freaking hysterical.
So at least it made sense along those terms. But then as far as the costume goes, I read this book and then I heard he got a new costume and I said, oh, really? Mm-hmm. And I went back and I looked in the book and he's wearing the same costume. So I had right. to dug out Justice League. I started flipping through Justice League, and I'm basically scanning back and forth between the two issues. Like, his belt is different, has a different buckle,
mm-hmm.
and now his sleeves extend down over the meaty part of his hand instead of stopping at his wrist. And that's it. That's the only thing that I can see is different.
Right, right. They changed the boots.
Did they change the boots?
They changed the
boots. The boots look the same.
They changed the
They
boots.
Don't have the little lines drawn on them, but it's John Romita Jr., so who knows right. whether or not that detail is really there or not.
Right. But
John Romita Jr. is one of those guys that's always more about style than it is about the actual detail. So,
right.
you know, I just there was a lot of hype that went online with this book that I'm glad I read it before I read that hype, mm-hmm. because I thought the issue was perfectly fine just reading it as part of the story. But then seeing all that hype about it and going back and looking at it going, if I had read all that hype beforehand and said, oh, well, I got to get my hands on this book, I would have been disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But luckily, I read it first, and it was perfectly fine.
Agreed. It took me a second to realize that, you know, this quote unquote big reveal of the newer costume or the new redesign, you know, literally happens so far into the issue. You know, I guess that's the only place where it can happen.
Well, and it's also just kind of a throwaway. Like, it's not any important part to the story. They just go, he goes, hey, where's the rest of my uniform? Oh, it's been destroyed. You're wearing what's left of the uniform, those tatters. So then he's got to make a new one, but you just never, it doesn't occur reading the storyline like, oh, well, this is how they can introduce a new costume. Because right. when he does show the costume again, it looks the same. It, mm-hmm. you know, there's really nothing that stands out as being different.
Mm-hmm.
It's Agreed. Not like he's suddenly wearing, you know, like a yellow costume with a hot pink S on the front or something, you know.
Now that would be worth talking about, right?
Well, we'd be talking about it. I don't know what type of attitude.
All right. Let's see here. I see that we have some info from Roddy about what his click of the week is. Let me talk very quickly about. Are we in rapid review time? Because it is getting late.
Yeah, it's getting late. So go ahead.
Yeah, sorry to get back. Sorry to get on so late, fellas. You know, there's always stuff happening. Very quickly, Hawkeye number 21. We're in the penultimate issue of Fraction and Aja's run. It's this issue was very well done. It was a great read. You know, I definitely can't recommend reading Hawkeye enough. It is on the weirder tip in the sense that Kate Bishop is heavily involved in very many issues, and it's kind of funny that we were talking about Punisher developing a second character to kind of do Punisher-like things. It seems like Hawkeye did that and had Hawkeye, Clint Barton, and Hawkeye, Kate Bishop kind of alternating in this book. You know, I don't know if that's the best model for the Punisher to follow, but you know, it's interesting that that dynamic might reappear in the Punisher book. This issue is, you know, the culmination, the climax of or leading towards a climax of a confrontation between Hawkeye, the residents of his building, and the tracksuit mafia, and I don't recall exactly the name of the big bad, you know, that they created to be the head of the tracksuit mafia, but it's really interesting. I think the highlight of this issue is Aja's great layouts, not necessarily, you know, finely detailed art, but there's so many great layouts in this issue, so many details, but not in the sense of fine details, but just great little details that are found in the panels, found in the layout, that really enhance the reading experience. I can't recommend, you know, reading through this once it's over and getting it in collected format. I think this is going to be one of the things that I pick up and hand to people to and have them read. It's that good.
I forgot that came out, so I need to.
Yeah, I think it's finishing on a strong note. Let's see if there's anything else I want to throw out there. You guys did Star Wars. We talked about Punisher, which was good. Miss Marvel, Hawkeye, we got that. I didn't have a chance to read Ant-Man number 2. Angela Asgard's Assassin number 3. I think the big highlight of this book for me right now is the art. I'm still not convinced that this character is going to have a lot of legs in the Marvel Universe, despite the fact that they're really entrenching her into Asgard and creating almost a female foil for Thor. You know, within I don't know if there's a Thor branch of the Marvel Universe just yet, but you know, it's just pretty much Loki, Agent of Asgard, and the Thor book. But Angela, you know, kind of creates a third book for the Thor corner of the universe. It's you know, like I said, I don't know how much longer this book can really sustain itself. I think the art is really the strongest selling point. I think, what is it, Phil Jimenez doing the art on this? I think it's him.
Yeah,
he's definitely the highlight of the book.
With Stephanie.
Right. So, you know, like I said, definitely the highlight of the book. And I think that covers it for me. I was wondering, Dirt, did a number of customers pick up Spawn number 250 in your store this week?
Yes, but mostly because we ordered a lot of the variants.
Okay.
There were several different covers, so there were people that picked up multiple covers just because they like to, you know, get all the different
collect
ones.
Right.
Yeah. But it was more. I think there were a lot of people that picked it up because, hey, it's Spawn, it's 250 issues, so I'll grab one of those. But there are people that are going to buy the one book, maybe flip through it, put in a bag and board, put it in their box with their, you know, their run of 1 through 10, and then look at it again. You know what I mean?
Did you just read my mind? Are you forcing my feature?
Is that your plan as well?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to plunk down the money to pick it up, but I was curious to hear how many customers had picked up the book, you know, considering what you were just saying about Ms. Marvel. You know, I was just kind of curious to hear.
It sold more as a collector's thing than as people with a genuine interest in the title.
Gotcha. Is Al Simmons back?
Yeah, he comes back at the end of this issue, I believe.
Okay. All right. Spoiler alert, people. I don't think there's anything left for rapid review.
I read RoboCop. RoboCop 8. The big bad guy. His name is Killian. Killian's my boss. Killian is the bad guy of RoboCop.
That's not a Freudian slip.
He's basically. Basically, he's an old gun runner from Detroit, and now that OCP has taken over and they're turning it into Delta City, he came back to try to undermine them, to reestablish himself, to turn the people against RoboCop and against the corporation, and it ends up backfiring on him, and in this issue, he finally gets taken down. The last issue ended in the middle of a giant firefight between the police and the gang, and this issue wraps that up. Killian makes his last, you know, stand in front of the public, trying to give this one final speech to get the people on his side. And of course, he gets taken down. He gets exposed for who he really is. He gets arrested, and on his way to being booked, he makes his escape and goes back out in the wild. And his plan now is a lot more personal against RoboCop now, as a personal vendetta, as opposed to this big criminal mastermind making this plan against this giant corporation. So the story, the tone has shifted with the character now. Instead of him being kind of like the evil mastermind supervillain, now he's the guy that's just kind of hell-bent on getting his own personal revenge. So it's going to change the tone of the book here a little bit in the next few issues. But it's still fun, still ultra-violent, which is what people like to have with their RoboCops. Let's see here. Future's End. Here's the thing that's striking me about Future's End right now. A bunch of the storyline threads have all come together in this issue with Brainiac making his attack on Earth. And the storyline has been that every time we've seen Brainiac in the past, it's been some, if you want to say like a probe version of himself, sending a small aspect of himself out to different corners of the universe and making these inroads on Earth. And so now the real Brainiac is finally appearing on Earth, and it doesn't really feel any different from any other Brainiac story we've seen in the past. The difference is, it feels like, because this is a weekly series, this feels more like the big budget summer movie version of a Brainiac attack.
Okay.
Where it's very drawn out. You're seeing things happen through the eyes of several different characters in different places simultaneously, and how they're reacting, and how the Justice League is dealing with it, and how Superman deals with it, and how Batman on a street level is dealing with it, and how Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen are dealing with it. You know, so it has much more the feel of you're watching something that's more epic, as opposed to, you know, the way it would be handled in a regular monthly book.
Okay.
But it doesn't feel like there's anything really new about it, but you could argue that it's better told in this format.
Gotcha, because there's constantly something going on, coming out, you know, week after week about the invasion.
So gotcha. Fans of Superman, fans of Brainiac, you know, they're going to enjoy it because it does kind of follow the line of how those stories usually work out a lot better because they can expand upon everything. And the only other one that I'll mention today is Detective Comics 39. This is Anarchy has taken over Gotham City. He's wiped out basically all public records on everybody. So there's no digital trace anymore of any man, woman, or child in Gotham City. He's given everybody these blank masks that they can wear so they can go out and live their life however they want, and there's going to be no repercussions. So, of course, you've got the people who are rioting, who are looting, who are, you know, setting fires, but you are starting to see the people who, with the ability to put on this mask and they don't have to worry about anyone coming after their family or knowing where they live, that there are people that are standing up. There is a silver thread throughout Gotham City of people who are standing up and willing to fight for their homes and fight for what they believe in. But then you find that anarchy is really doing this to get back at one particular Batman villain.
Really?
That he actually has a personal vendetta against one member of Batman's
Rogues Gallery. Wow.
A Rogues Gallery. And all of this has been a setup to get this one guy
to come out of the dark, to get
and
him
so
out to the open.
It's one of those things where you read that and the first thing that hits you is, wait, this can't be the whole reason why all of this is happening. Mm-hmm. But you start to realize that some of the things that they've done and the issues leading up to this make total sense, considering this is where they were going.
Okay.
So it is kind of nice in that way to see the things unfold and to see stuff that maybe you didn't really pay that close attention to, really makes sense in the long run. So I've enjoyed it. It's
all
a
right.
Good series. All right.
Hey, you've had a lot of good things to say about Mono Pucciolato, you know, doing Detective, so that's pretty
well,
cool.
They were great on Flash, and they're doing
right.
A good job on Detective,
yeah.
Too. So.
I got to get caught up. The last issue I haven't read, but I've been enjoying their run.
All right, so clicks.
Let's do Click of the Week.
Roddy Katz was Hawkeye 21.
And that is well deserved.
As he said, Ant-Man and Star Wars number 2 gave him a run for their money, but sticking with Hawkeye.
I am going to go with Punisher number 15. I had a great time reading this book. That is my Click of the Week this week. And if you don't know, now you know, you got to go back and read Punisher, like Dirt said.
Hmm.
Mine is Ant-Man number 2. Hilarious.
Nice.
And especially that billboard. You love that billboard.
Yes.
I could pick Punisher, but I think in the end I am going to go with Avengers. Just
nice.
Because for me, as someone who loved the Ultimate Universe, seeing these two worlds collide in this way and seeing the return of this character just makes me so excited for the series.
Interesting, you picking an Avengers book.
Shut up.
It's so very fun. So before we wrap up, I just wanted to throw in a couple of things. I don't know if you guys talked about any of the TV shows this week.
No.
I just wanted to shout out Agent Carter this week. It was a very, very good episode. You know, things are afoot in terms of explaining how we got into the modern day versions of not only some of the American heroes, but also a Russian hero. Spoiler alert. So, you know, I would definitely suggest watching Agent Carter. You know, Haley Atwell is just, you know, just a really great actress, and they did a lot of character development with her colleagues, with at least one of her colleagues this week. And they also brought back the Howling Commandos from the first Captain America movie, and that was pretty cool to see. So, you know, if you get a chance to go watch it, on DVR or on demand, go back and watch Agent Carter this week. And I also wanted to get some con ticket purchase news out there. I just picked up my tickets for special edition NYC. This week, I did not opt to get the VIP tickets, which sold out in minutes, but I did have the opportunity to get it. So I got my ticket for a special edition. That's going to be fun. And I also learned of a new con. I don't know if it's the first year it's been in operation. I don't think it is, but it's called the East Coast Comic Con. It's in New Jersey, of all places. You know, that means it's not exactly the most convenient thing for me. I'm going to have to drive or commute into the swamps of New Jersey. But one of the things that's going to make me go, this is scheduled for April 11th and 12th. One of the things that's going to make me go is who's on the guest list. Who is the first name on the guest list? Art Adams. And
you've
I know
some Thor books you're going to take to get signed.
Thor, maybe the first, maybe the Longshot limited series from back in the day. You know, I'm sure you remember that, Dirt, you know? But
what's
yeah, Art
Fantastic
Adams.
Four?
Yeah, so that the whatchamacallit, the Fantastic Four, the Wolverine
Wolverine
Hulk, Ghost Rider and Spidey Fantastic
Spider-Man
Four issues. Yes, yes. You know I'm going to dig those up, man. I mean, I think I remember saying to Tim and to Roddy at the con that they were going to, that Art Adams was a guest there, and I was jazzed to see that. Maybe Art Adams is going to be on the con circuit this year, so I'm going to try to make it to this East Coast Comic Con and see him. You know, hopefully the lines aren't too crazy. I'm already jinxing it.
Yeah, that reminds me. I go to a con, I think, at the end of the month.
Nice. What's the name of that one?
Middle Georgia Comic Con.
Oh, I think we talked about that. So yeah, I guess we're going to talk about
completely different from the Southern Georgia Comic Con and completely different from the Northern Georgia Comic Con.
Correct.
There you go. There you go. So, I mean, you know, the closer we get to these cons, we're going to have to start, talking up what we're going to do and who we're going to reach out to. And you let me know if you need me to email you the layout for the card. For our Compo Chronicles card that
I guess I need to get some of those made.
You know, I'm gonna have this ready and ready to go at the show and see if we can make some connections.
Cool. And with that, I guess we'll be ending the show tonight. Remember to follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDogg98 and at TheClickNation. Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat and at NewsNerdsNeed. Dirt is at PCN_dirt and go to his website popculturenetwork.com. And Agent 70 is at Agent_70.
Yep.
And with that, we'll be saying goodnight. We'll be back next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, for another exciting episode of the Comic Chronicles. We are the Comic Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Hey!